Good morning. What do we do this, right? Remember Pastor Shalom did that yesterday? I want to introduce, first of all, the love of my life and my beautiful wife, Ildiko, right there. Also, I'm so happy some of our people made it here. I see Christina this morning. Christina, I'm glad you made it here. Her husband's up in Seattle working. We say hi to him. Hi, Chris. Also, we have, I don't know if you've seen Eddie and his wife, Karina, are here. And Joyce. I don't know where Joyce is this morning. Maybe she's trying to find a ride down here. I don't know. Convention has been extended for another week. I'm just kidding. We want it to be, though. This morning, I got my notes here, so just want to say hello to some friends out on there on the internet that are watching this morning. So this morning, this week we've been talking about the more excellent way. And I love the messages. I've just been so blessed. One message in particular that has really spoke to me is the one, it's kind of simple, the dog and Pastor Schaller chasing, the dog chasing him around and him trying to kick it away. And it's a picture of the love of God and how that comes at us and doesn't stop. And also Pastor Schiavelli's message, too, on constrained by the love of God. That was so powerful to us, and we appreciate it. So, Greater Grace World Outreach, good morning. I always wanted to say that. The more excellent way, and yesterday at the Altoonas, Leon and Colleen's house, we had a barbecue there. Everybody had barbecues probably yesterday. And there were people that I was on outreach here with for many years. The Dundalk outreach. We went into Dundalk and knocked on literally thousands of doors. And if anybody is on the Dundalk team, would you just raise your hand if you were on the Dundalk? Hopefully there's a hand here. Maybe not. But there was sort of a reunion. It was sort of a reunion of team members. And it was a blessing because one lady came. Her name is Helen. And Natalia knocked on her door and she got saved. She's here from China. Been here in the country 3 weeks. Never heard the word Jesus before. And she got saved and she was at the barbecue. So that was a real blessing for us to see her. And then also, I met last night some Russians. Isn't that funny? They come here and they get saved to America. I was really blessed that this young girl came up to me. She's in college now in Pittsburgh, and she wanted to meet me. 10 years ago, we knocked on a door down in inner city Baltimore. And she came to church, and we picked her up every Sunday and her brother for church. And now, she's saved, and she's in Pittsburgh, and she was visiting, and she came to look me up and just to say thank you. So that was a blessing. And then I got to thinking about another situation. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 31, and the B part. Let's just look at that to get that into our mind this morning. And maybe we have the verse up here, do we? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. And I love Pastor Boyce. I see Pastor Boyce this morning. I loved your message on that. It was very good. When we were in Dundalk, We had a great team. We were in a school over there, and we knocked on a door, and I remember it so clearly. There were two boys inside and their father, and the father was struggling, and the boy was a quadriplegic. He was a quadriplegic. He was literally, you know, he could only move from his head down, as you know. He had no movement, only. And we invited them to church, and they came. His name is Paris, and he was a great guy. He's struggling, doing the best he could. And many Sundays they would come, and he would bring his quadriplegic son. And he was, I can remember, he was very bitter, you know, angry, not happy with his life. His brother was running around and doing everything, and he couldn't. And yet, the team and us, we loved them. We tried to encourage him. And this went on for a long time. And I lost track of them. And we got, you know, we got called to Las Vegas. And Tony Slocum, do you know Tony Slocum? Is he here this morning, Tony? I talked to him last night. And actually, he called me a couple years ago out in Vegas. And he said, I just want to tell you, do you know a guy named Shane? And he's the quadriplegic from Dundalk, because he knows you guys. He knows you. And I said, yes. And he said, I just want to let you know that I have been working with him. I was assigned to work with him in the public school in Dundalk. And he told me that he knew you guys. And I just want to tell you the story, what happened. Well, this guy, Shane, ended up getting because Paris couldn't handle it anymore, and this young man Shane got placed in the foster system, but he got placed with Christian parents, and then he was going to this school. And Tony, who had lost his job, didn't have a job, so he got placed in the school to work with these kids. You know Tony, he's a great guy. And he got placed with this young man. And what ended up happening was, in this family and with Tony, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he sent me a picture of him and actually, this young man, Shane, competed in a marathon. He wasn't running it, but he was the one. Somebody was pushing him the whole way. I think it was 26 miles or something. I guess he was the first one to complete it as a quadriplegic. Something like that. I don't know exact details, but it was something. And I saw the picture of his face, and it touched my heart. It was completely different. You could see the light. You could see his countenance. And he was smiling. I never saw him smile. He was smiling. And just to say this, that it's the more excellent way, isn't it? God has an excellent way. And Shane, you know, God had zeroed in on this young man. And it got me to think, like, on the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, he was there between two thieves. And Jesus actually had no mobility from his neck down. Think about that. No mobility. He could only move his head. Shane could only move his head. And between the two thieves, remember that we know the story is that one said, if you are the Son of God, you know, get off the cross. But the response of the other one, and I like to think of this, Jesus was between them. He wasn't like over on one side. on the right or the left. He was right between them because he wanted to give both of them a chance. One rejected him. The other one, however, said, you know, we deserve to be here. We earned this. And he said to the Lord, the other thief, and you can think of thieves too. Why two thieves? Why wasn't it somebody else? What? Maybe it could have been another criminal act that they did, but it was two thieves. I was thinking of this, like we rob God of his rightful place in our life, don't we? We steal from him. We rob him of God's authority or his rightful place with us. But the one thief said, Lord, and this was it. I mean, I love this. He said, all he said was, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your glory? He didn't get baptized. He didn't do any good works. He didn't do anything. All he did was believe. Only believe. And Jesus' response to him was, today you will be with me in paradise. Imagine that. And Jesus, from eternity past, knew this man that he was going to meet on the cross that day. For that one. Remember, what's the slogan? Bring one, disciple one, plant one. That was just one person there on the cross. And to think of that, like Shane, he met Tony Slocum, and Tony Slocum invested in him, and they became great friends, actually. And 7 years, and Shane is right now in paradise. He died at 24 years old. Sorry. We were in the right place, the right time. God had a plan for that young man. And praise the Lord. Let's just praise him for a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless the rest of the message this morning. Thank you for bringing us here, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for justifying us, redeeming us, glorifying us. Thank you, Lord. As the song said, every tear will be wiped away. I love that song. Every tear will be wiped away in your presence, Lord. All things are new. Hallelujah. We feel so refreshed and so blessed. Such an impartation of life and light this week. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless us for the rest of the year going into this, as we say, the Chinese New Year. We go into the next year. Looking unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
All right, if you would just, we're going to say a prayer for our offering right now. This is the offering for our local church here in Baltimore. And if you would like to contribute something to the scholarship funds for the schools that we operate, Greater Grace Christian Academy, also Maryland Bible College and Seminary, you can use this envelope for that. And let's just pray right now. Thanks, Pastor Perkins. We heard great things about just a little bit of investment that can return a great return. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time of worship, the worship where we give out of what you have given to us. We ask you, Lord, to use these things, these offerings, these tithes that we bring before you, to use them for your glory, Lord Jesus. Lord, as you have given us a mission to reach the uttermost parts of the world and also the neighborhoods and towns and cities that you have put us in. So we just thank you for the week that we've had, for the blessing for upon everyone's lives here, their jobs, their talents, the way that you've blessed them. Now we give to you, Lord Jesus, for your glory. Amen.
Good morning. Would you stand with me and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Wasn't that great, Pastor Perkins? When he was preaching, I was reminded of a verse that Pastor Stevens preached in the 80s. It was from Psalm 51, and the message was called, "A Broken Spirit Reveals the Authority of God." I always remember that, and that's what I saw today, that he is a man who's he has a broken spirit, and God's authority comes through him. Even on the basketball court. It's even very gracious to me on the basketball court, you know. I think, yeah. Yes, he is. Great time. And, you know, I don't know where the band, come on up here for 1 minute. Annette, all of you, just come up here. Like, let's give them a great shout out. I know there's more of them. Yes, come on up. She asked me to sing with them this morning. I'm like, what? And I know there's others that should be here, that are here. But can you imagine they have done 18 services from Sunday to Sunday with the music? 18, I counted. I might be wrong, but I doubt it. Yeah, I mean, very close with 2 services a day for 6 days and then 3 and 3. So that's like 18, if my math is correct. And they've done an amazing job bringing in the presence of God, and they're practicing, and their time together, and how they set an amazing stage for the presence of God and the Word of God. So we thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I heard a voice on the telephone this morning that I didn't want to answer. It was, can you preach? It was, I don't even know what time it was. Probably like 7:30. Can you preach? I stopped for a minute and I thought, like, I'm not answering the call. Right now I'm having a hard time keeping my eyes open. And then I said, wow, it's a privilege and thank you. And no matter what comes out, it's like, you know. D.L. Moody once said that the message he thought was the worst message he ever preached, they traced it had the most results he ever had as far as conversion. He thought, this is the worst message I've ever preached. It just, nothing came out right, backwards, inside out. It was all over the place. And then they traced the results, and they said it was the most incredible results because God meets us in our inadequacy. Amen? Doesn't he do that? He's fervent. His our inadequacy and who he is. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I love this portion of scripture. It is kind of like a significant, very significant verse in our ministry or portion when we think about greater grace. I'm getting there. By the way, when it says Paul heard unspeakable words when he was caught up to heaven, I believe they were grace words. The words he heard in 2 Corinthians 12:4. I heard words that were unspeakable. And that means impossible for a man to utter. Man doesn't have it as a source. But God is the source and he gives it to man. So, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So many people are always trying to figure out, you know, why the thorn? So he wouldn't be exalted. It says it 3 times. Lest I be exalted above measure. I've been given so much from God that I'm also given this. It was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. It means actually to splinter and strike me. Least I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times or thrice that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then Titus chapter 1. Did you ever think that your mission field was Crete? You know what Crete is? Crete. I left you in, for this cause, I left you in Crete. You know what was in Crete? Liars, slow bellies, and evil beasts. Here's an island for you. Now, please, anybody from Crete, don't write me. I'm just seeing the Bible. I know I'll get an email. I go, you know, that's not true about Crete. Well, I don't know. I'm just reading the Bible and what he says there. And you can see that in the portion, but I love this. This particular verse, verse 5. For this cause I left you in Crete. And I'm just going to stop with those words. Father, thank you today. God, what we've been given and how we've been left. How many people want to just get out of this world? I can't wait till Jesus comes. Well, I don't always think like that. I think, thank you. You've given us grace and you've left us in a lost and dying world. For this cause, I left you in Crete. So bless our time this morning. Thank you for Pastor Schaller. Quicken and strengthen him. And we love you today. We pray that you'd help us to have an understanding of grace once more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, are you with me? Wow, water. It's actually water. I don't like water, but... I do, but I don't. I don't know. I like Diet Coke. Sorry. Not trying to advertise. Paul, as we've heard about the more excellent way, love is the motivation. The finished work and the cross is the foundation, and grace is the operation. Love is the motivation. The foundation is the finished work, mercy of God, the cross, and then the operation is grace. So love is the amazing motivation, the more excellent way, and it puts us on a place of grace. And really, when you think about our ministry and what we have always proclaimed and preached was this word of grace. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. It says that when Paul was in Galatia, he was long time preaching the word of grace, and the Lord gave testimony with many manifestations and power. Long time preaching it. Are we going to be long time grace people? Amen. Amen. I read this morning from John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Actually, it doesn't say it like that. This is a sad story for the Jehovah Witnesses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was facing God. That's what it actually says. Very clear that it was Father, Son, and Spirit. And then I call that the first verse of the Bible. You can say it's Genesis 1, but this predates Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word. And then the last words of the Bible, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love how the Bible closes. Grace to be with you all. And so Paul is facing a lot of opposition, a lot of persecution, a lot of critical analysis, a lot of evaluation. And you could, with all of that going on, you could begin to become a person that's very analytical. Did anybody here know what self-analysis is? Remember the word that was preached many years ago, self-analysis versus God is? That was another Dr. Stevens message. Self-analysis. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Yes, you remember that. Pastor Sturge, I'm sure you do. Shaking your head. either that or you got a kink in your neck or something, but self-analysis. And Paul could have actually, and certainly we want the Holy Spirit to reveal to us areas of our lives where we need to grow. And here he is, and the Corinthians, as we said recently, there's just a lot of problems. We said it in the wrap, I think. We counted something over 90 different issues that Paul actually initiated to in the two epistles, things that were just going on there. And they could take a look at him in one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, just denying his apostolic authority. The man that plants the church, they just like, yeah, you're not even an apostle. And what can take place is amazing. So if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I hope you do, 11 and 12, it says the word in about 37 times. Are you with me? What he's in. Just read the list. If you think you got a problem, read 11:18 through 12:10. You come away from that thinking, like, I don't have any, there's nothing wrong. Nothing's going wrong, right, Pastor Perkins? You got a problem in Vegas. Read 2 Corinthians 11:18 through 12:10. It will set you free. It's amazing. He talks about all kinds of things. And then he says this. I love this. Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a what? You know what really strikes me? The word given. And the word is didomai. It means it was God's gracious purpose to give you a thorn. Hello? Anybody awake here? Okay. It was God's gracious purpose. In other words, it was the plan of God. The thorn was the plan of God. The thorn in grace is better plan than no thorn and no grace. Amen. The thorn in grace, okay? And it was given me a thorn in the flesh. And you can say sometimes, like, you know, why didn't, when I get saved, the old sin nature just go away, eradicated? Read 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 and you'll find out. It was given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted above measure, lest I become involved in what would be a satanic ministry. The exaltation, he exalted himself, trying to go above the stars of God, and then I will be like the Most High. There was a fivefold progressive, arrogant steps of the devil. And then, by the way, if you read Isaiah 14, God dropped him five times. He will drop him five times, eventually into the lake of fire. So he says, I'm going up five times. God says, you're going down five times. Hallelujah. That's why you never worry about those people who oppose the gospel. It's, guess what's going to happen? Sad to say. I call them anti-grace forces. And by the way, this world is filled with anti-grace forces because grace simply is, you know, sometimes the definition, we got to get the definition. I know we know it, but grace is who God is. Amen. Grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is who God is. It's his fullness and his glory. John 1:14 through 17 and 18, it talks about we beheld with an intimate gaze his glory full of grace and truth. So his glory is grace. His glory is grace. And this is incredible. And his fullness is grace. For out of his fullness we have all received grace for grace, and that means actually grace upon grace, grace after grace, continual grace, never-ending grace, abundance of grace. So here we are in this world, and we're in an anti-grace world. Have you ever figured that out? You think so? Is that the case, Pastor Morley, in England? Anti-grace forces are everywhere. And anti-grace forces, number one, the old sin nature is anti-grace. Have you noticed your old sin nature doesn't like grace? Yeah, you know, it's opposed to it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and 19 and before that, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that you would. So the flesh hates grace because the flesh wants to perform. The flesh wants to say, I got all A's. I'd rather get all A's from God. Accepted, approved, those kind of A's. So the flesh is anti-grace. The devil is what? Is he what? He's anti-grace. He is the captain of the anti-grace forces along with his demons. Anti-grace. He hates grace. James 4:8, when grace is around and people are submitted to grace, it says Satan flees. It's only two times in the Bible that Satan flees. Matthew 4:11, when he's given the word three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the other time is when you submit to grace. He's out of there. He flees. It's gone. He flees. So anti-grace forces, the old sin nature, the devil and his demons, and the world system, which those two are the source of. What is the world? The world is that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. That's the old sin nature, and that's the devil and demons. And they create a system called the world, cosmos. And he's Cosmo Crater, ruler of this world. So the anti-grace forces are everywhere. And if you're not careful as a believer or as a church, anti-grace forces can come in and begin to find a little place. They creep in unaware, Galatians 2, 1 through 4. I call them creeping crawlers. They just come in, anti-grace forces. And they can work their way into my life, into a believer's life, and into a church, you know. Stand up if you're going to give $100 this morning. And if you're going to give $200, stand up. If you're going to give they'll do that in a church service. Pastor Alfred, am I right? Huh? Oh, yeah. Stand up. Those of you that can give $50, stand up. Those of you that can give $100, you're going to get a greater blessing. You're already blessed anyway. What's this all about, you know? Anti-grace forces. I went to a church one time, and the church service was 3 hours long, and the man said, "You're the main preacher, you got 15 minutes. I said, "Excuse me, I'm going to go to my room in the hotel and let me know if you want me to come. But I think you're totally off with a 3-hour service and 15 minutes for the message. What are you doing? What is this all about? It's all music, prophesying, speaking in tongues, all kinds of things going on. Those can be anti-grace forces coming into a church to rob the character of God. Are you with me? Anti-grace forces, they're everywhere. And we're not to be afraid of them. We are to stand before them with the God of all grace, face them up, and be willing to go against what we see out there as anti-grace forces. They've worked their way into the education system, haven't they? Let's get the Bible out of the school system. Let's get prayer out of the school system. Who's doing that? That's not people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Those are anti-grace forces, the devil and his demons. Taking it out so that, by the way, so many Christian schools are opening up in America every single month. It's incredible because people are saying, we're going to fight the anti-grace forces. Amen? And we stand like Mordecai in Esther chapter 3, verse 1. Haman's coming by. Did you ever see, that picture? Somebody painted a picture, didn't they, Pastor Steve? The Mordecai standing there when Haman comes by. Was it Joe Zucker? Somebody. Yeah, it was. Haman's coming by. Everybody bows to Haman. But Haman's aggravated because Mordecai bowed not. He says, I'm not bowing to anti-grace forces. I'm standing up. And if it means the gallows, I'll go to the gallows. But what ended up happening is the gallows he prepared for Haman, or Haman prepared for him, Haman got hung on those gallows. God is faithful, isn't he? Anti-grace forces, they're everywhere. But we have an incredible victory. It's given to us. We're given the grace of God. Yes, I've got a thorn in my flesh, but my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your what? Not without your weakness, in your weakness. So that I can glory in my infirmities. So I've been given a thorn in the flesh so that I can be a receiver of grace. And then Titus, I'm leaving you in Crete. I've left you in the world. I've left you in Liberia. I've left you in India. I've left you in, I won't mention some names, don't worry. I left you in, some of you got to keep off, you know, whatever they call that thing, inner something, intertwined, internet. I'm leaving you there. I'm leaving you at this job. I'm leaving you in this neighborhood. I left you in your Crete. And in Crete, there's always, doesn't say shibeli, it says slow bellies. Okay, they're slow bellies. They're lazy and they're passive. They're always liars, and not only that, they're evil beasts. And that's where you're staying. Get me out of here! I want to just go home to be with the Lord. I can't take it anymore. Leave me here. Amen? I want to be left here until the time that Jesus comes. Then I want to go, or the time I go before he comes. Whatever happens. Oh, by the way, some people, they'll change jobs because things are difficult. That happened to me one time. I said, I'm getting out of this job and I'm going to go to this job. I went from one prison to another. The next place I went was worse than the last one. I thought, the opposition in the administration is just as bad, if not worse. You know, so we want to get out of something rather than receive grace in that situation. And then God is not done with us because he's interested in conforming us to the image of his dear son. Amen? And so we can be amazing receivers of grace. I love Romans 5, verse 2. It says, by faith, say that, by faith, we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. We've got access to grace. Amen? We've got access for every situation, for every person, for every time in our life, for whatever's going on when we're young, when we're a teen, when we're older, like Pastor Perkins. We've got grace. We have access by grace, by faith into this grace wherein we what? We stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this is Paul speaking to the Romans. Think about the anti-grace forces in Rome. 4 million people in the city. It's known by two things, two C's. The Colosseum, where the Christians died, and the catacombs where they lived. Underground. Do you know how many people lived underground? They say it could have been like 700,000 people were living underground. Dug out their own cities. Had their own bakeries underground. Had their own grocery stores underground. Lot was underground. And here comes Paul with a message for a people. They say the church might not have been more than 150 people in the middle of 4 million people, totally anti-grace, totally evil. And God says, this is where you are. Romans 1, 5 through 8. You have grace to be in Rome, no matter what's going on. And sometimes we're just like, oh, can't wait to either get out of the world or get out of this area or get out of this job or get out of this marriage or get out of this situation. But we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And God says it's just going to keep coming. It'll just keep coming. You have as much grace as you'll ever need. Hello? Are you there? Yes. And then he uses this amazing two words. Romans 5 verse 9. 10, I'm going to go slow, 15, 17, and 20. What are the two words he uses there? Much more. Much more. You've got much more grace than you could even imagine, than you could even think. Sometimes we think grace has ran out for this situation. Grace has run out for this relationship. Grace has run out for this outreach. Grace is running out. No, God says it's what? Much more. Much more grace for the 18th. The 18th music service or song service. Hey, much more, right? I understand physical tiredness. I knew a guy in Ghana. He could sleep standing up. I never saw anything like it in my life. I mean sound asleep. Yeah, he was sound asleep. He was from Tamale. Remember from Tamale, he was a missionary. He could sleep standing up. Now I know there's times of that we're tired, but take a nap. Scotty said he's taking a nap today, this afternoon. You know, I never liked sleeping. I always thought I was missing something. Then I read that verse. He gives his beloved sleep. So I think if I don't like sleep, then maybe God, are you loving me experientially? I never liked sleep, and when I was 10 years old, my parents would take me to the drive-in movies, and my mother would say, at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody woke up, and you were wide awake watching. I took a flashlight under the covers every night and just read things. pull the covers over. My mother, are you asleep?
Yes.
Well, there are times when we really need it. I understand that. I think that it'll hit sometime, very soon. Maybe, hopefully not right now. But we've got access to what? Hello? Are you okay today? Sunday morning, huh? Wow. By the way, it's really great to smile. You know that? Satan can hear our words and watch our face. Some people walk around like this. That's, you're feeding something, you know. And I'm not saying these contrived smiles. I'm just saying I've got joy in my heart. I've got much more grace. I've got much more grace. Peter understood that. Peter understood that. He said it was multiplied and it was manifold. 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 4:10. In 1 Peter 1:2, it was multiplied. Grace is multiplied, not just added. You know, multiplication is kind of greater than adding. Multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. 4 plus 4 is 8. 4 times 4 is 16. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? For a math person, it's multiplied. It's multiplied to us. We can never be in a place where we do not have grace. That God is there, even grace to restore us and bring us back, even grace to move us on. It's so much more. And Peter understood that. And he needed the grace of God for the calling he had to lead the church in situations like Galatians chapter 2, when he was doing something that Paul had to actually rebuke him. And he did it. And then Peter would have to receive the grace of God and God's nature. We've got so much more, so much more. And this is awesome. It's abundant grace. And yes, there's all these things going on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And they're not going to change. I think God is more interested in changing me than he is in changing the situation. But do I really believe that? You know? Get me out of here! No, you're in here for a reason. I left you in Crete. Amen? Are you listening? I left you in the situation so you can manifest the grace of God, the character of God, the nature of God, so people can see Jesus Christ more than just black letters on white pages, but they can read our lives. Hello? There's a story about this woman, and her husband was a wicked, unsaved husband. There's nobody like that here. Wicked, unsaved husband. And the preacher, the pastor that was over her said, like, I don't know how you handle this. Because he was in the house one day. And this guy was Mr. Miserable. Okay? I mean, it was unbelievable. And he would abuse her verbally. He would demand many things of her. And she did everything. So the pastor called her and he said to her, like, I don't understand how you can do this. She says, I'm going to give him some joy in this life. Because it's the only joy he'll ever, ever have if he doesn't get saved. And I thought, wow, this woman has grace. This woman understands the character and the nature of God. How important that is because of what's taking place and what will happen. What will take place? Like, Pastor Alfred, just come up here for a minute. Are you okay? I'm not going to box you. Pastor Alfred, you actually lived here in America for how many years?
7.
Huh?
7 years.
Okay. 7 years. And he's back in Liberia now. He comes from Liberia. He got a message. It wasn't, I don't know if it actually happened there, but you got a message at the Liberian refugee camp. I think Pastor Morley went there the first, right? Did you stand up, Pastor Morley? That was amazing. And Pastor Morley went there, and did you teach Survey of Doctrine or something? He taught Survey of Doctrine. This camp was unbelievable. Jam-packed. How many people do you think were in that camp?
150,000.
And how was the camp bigger than this property? not much bigger than this property. It's 150,000 people. By the way, you knew the camp when you drove by it. Huh? You knew the camp.
Yeah, you smelled it from a distance.
And Pastor Morley went there. And some people heard the message. Then he appeared one day. And tell me how grace has made a difference in your life. And we have 20, how many churches in Liberia now?
21.
21 churches in Liberia. And with Bible schools and the message.
Titus chapter 2, verse 12 says, the grace of God appears to all of us to teach us to deny ungodliness. But I can tell you, the grace of God appeared to me probably before everybody in Liberia. I come from a home where my father was a pagan, unbeliever, with five wives. My mother was the most hated one and the least one in the house. And guess where all the hatred goes? To her. And when it does not hurt anymore, it spills over to her children. And I was the only boy child in the house. And my mother was the only one who brought forth boy child. And five women have never brought forth boy kids before. And in Africa, when the father dies, guess who takes the property? It's the boy child. So for me to survive, it was a miracle. Five other brothers of mine were killed as they were born. I was the only one who survived. Tell me, grace of God did not appear unto me. So, and then secondly, Pastor, if you have a second.
You have got a lot of time.
For close to 21 years, Liberia, we had 1.2 million United Nations personnel who went to Liberia to help rehabilitate Liberians. Okay? And the last batch just left last year. But Liberia was left in a more worse state than when they came. So tell me the grace of God and United Nations, who does a greater job? Grace. It didn't say yes. It didn't say it's the United Nations that appeared unto all Liberians. It said the grace of God appears unto all men. And it's the grace of God that is working. Every nation that's surrounding Liberia that has a common border with Liberia, when you go there now to check the percentage of Islam, they are all 90%. We are the only countries that are under 30%. So guess where the battleground is? It's Liberia. We think that the war is over, but the spiritual war still goes on. So pray for us that the grace of God that has appeared unto every person in that country will be experienced by them. We will open our eyes and see it and embrace it. Amen. About, I would say about 700, the statistic says about 750,000 people were killed by the war. But I say it's more than that. Because those who took the statistics didn't reach to the villages. They didn't take into consideration those who die as a result of starvation. Those just stop like that. Those who died as a result of trying to cross rivers that were overflowing and all of that. Amen? Thank you.
Grace changed his life. And then his message goes forward to all these churches and Bible schools. Where we're training faithful men in Bible school there. See, this grace is much more. This grace is much more. This grace is going to have it's having and will have amazing effects in Asia, in India. We know it to be true in Europe, Eastern Europe, America. I'm not going to forget Canada, South America. We keep receiving much more grace. And it's incredible. We sometimes think about, like, this thing that God is calling me into. God doesn't give you the grace for the situation you're being called to and led to until you get there. But sometimes we evaluate the situation. We're not there yet. But God is going to give us exactly what we need when we get there. It's called grace for tomorrow. You don't get it today. Amen? It's grace for tomorrow. So let's be a people who we stand in this grace. We have access to this grace. There's so much more available in my own personal life, as Paul would have this thorn in his flesh buffeting and splintering him. So much going on in his life, and that yet he would receive grace from God, and he would tell Titus, you've been left in Crete to give this message. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. and you, Titus, are in. I've left you there for this cause. So let's not try to run away from places and situations and things that are going on. Let's be receivers of much more grace and abundant grace and watch God manifest his very life and his glory right in the situation. Amen. Father, thank you this morning. You told Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We thank you. We've been saved and called with a holy calling, not according to our own works, according to grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This grace we have is eternal. Eternal life, eternal grace. We thank you. Help us, God, to keep coming, to keep going, to keep receiving by whom we have received grace and an apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Thank you for the life, the grace life. Thank you for the word of grace. Thank you for the church of grace. Thank you for the body of grace. Thank you for the gospel of grace. Thank you for the purpose of grace. Thank you for the power of grace. Thank you for the victory of grace. Thank you for the life of grace. Thank you. Much more. Much more. And at the end it will be said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If you are here today or you're watching on the internet and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's the God of all grace. Ephesians 2:5 through 8 says, by grace you are saved. We are not saved by what we do, what we accomplish, by keeping the commandments, by good works. We are saved by the grace of God, the very life of God, the nature of God, the ability of God, the work of God. Simply say on the internet or here, if you've never received Christ, Jesus, save me. Saved by grace, the gift of God. Just a simple decision. Yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus, save me. That's your prayer. Just your hand up or acknowledging on the internet. Say yes to God. Say yes to the God of all grace, abundant grace, much more grace. Grace for salvation, grace for being just to be delivered. Grace to grow. Grace to grow. Grace to go against the enemy. Grace to go out with the gospel. Grace to be restored when we fail. And then grace will take us to heaven. We thank you. Bless our time today. The 11 o'clock service. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as they come and close with a song? Amen.